Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. That opening announcement mentioned 2 John 9, that you have to abide in the doctrine of Christ to have God. Can anybody be saved without God? No, the only way they're going to be saved is through the grace and mercy of God. If you transgress and do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. 2 John verse 9, you're not going to be saved. So you have to not only believe in Jesus, you have to follow his teachings. You have to abide in the teaching of Christ. Right? Isn't that what 2 John 9 is teaching? Well, there's a lot of people out there claiming to be believers, but they're not all abiding in the teaching of Christ. How could they be? Some churches teach gay marriage is okay. Some churches don't. Some churches teach women preachers are okay. Some churches don't. Some churches sprinkle babies for baptism. Some churches say it's got to be immersion of believers. They're different. They can all be teaching the doctrine of Christ. So they can't all have God. The ones that aren't abiding in the teaching of Christ don't have God. They're not going to be saved. It's that simple. 2 plus 2 can't equal 4 and 5 in mathematics at the same time. And it can't equal 2 plus 2 can't equal 4 and 5 in religion at the same time. If two people are teaching something different from each other, they both can't be right in math, science, or religion. Now that brings me to Matthew 15 verse 9, where Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Instead of teaching the commandments of men, we have to teach the commandments of God. Now, how would you know what is a commandment of God? What's a commandment of men? Obviously, it's from the Bible. It's a commandment of God. If it's not in the Bible, that leaves it. Only place it could be, commandment of men. They worship God in vain, those who teach the commandments of men. Those who are teaching things different, contrary to the Word of God. You say it doesn't really matter as long as you believe in Jesus. No, if you teach something contrary to the teaching of Christ, you don't have God, your worship is in vain. You cannot please God that way. You cannot go to heaven unless you're following the teaching of Christ. I know I'm getting excited about this, but there's nothing more important than this that people are missing. They think all you got to do is believe in Christ. But passages like Hebrews 5:9 say that Jesus became the author or the source of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. You're only going to receive eternal salvation from the source, Jesus Christ, if you obey him. Just believing in Christ is not enough. You have to believe. You have to obey Christ. Now, that brings me to a passage that I've been talking about the last 2 weeks. 1 John 2:24, which reads this way. "If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and the Father." Do you see that? To continue in the Son and the Father, that is, to be saved, you have to remain in the teaching heard from the beginning. If you deviate from that original teaching, the teaching heard from the beginning, what we find exactly in the New Testament without change, if you differ from that, you don't continue in the Son and the Father and you can't be saved. I know that sounds extreme to some of you, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches over and over and over again. You may not have ever noticed that or known about it because maybe the preacher you go, he says, all you got to do is believe in Christ. It doesn't matter what you believe and teach in religion. It does matter. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Give us a call, 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. So we talked about the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about some of these deviations from the original doctrine. For example, we talked about homosexuality, the churches now that accept gay marriage. We saw from the original teaching in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the churches that are deviating from that, that means they're deviating from the original doctrine. They're not remaining in the teaching heard from the beginning. That means they're not continuing in the Son and the Father. What about the churches, the Catholic Church primarily, that teach that communion, you only need to do the bread and not the fruit of the vine? Well, that deviates from 1 Corinthians 11, 26 and 28. We're just reviewing some things here. What about the frequency of communion? The Catholic Church says we started out doing it once a week. Now we've changed every day. Well, they started out right. Acts 20 verse 7 talks about doing the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Every week has a first day. That's when we're authorized to do it on the first day of the week, not every day. Not once a month and once every 3 months, but the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7. And then we talked about infant baptism and noticed that Philip told the eunuch that he had to believe to be baptized. So that means unbelievers are not to be baptized. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Yet we have many churches, Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopal, Catholic, Presbyterian, that baptize babies, even though the Bible says you can only be baptized scripturally if you believe first. And then the action of baptism, they sprinkle. Churches sprinkle, but the Bible says in Romans 6, verse 4, we're buried with him in baptism. All of these things we were pointing out, and we went into more detail the last 2 weeks, these are things that are deviations from the teaching heard from the beginning. And 1 John 2:24 says, if that you remain in the teaching heard from the beginning, then you continue in the Son and the Father. I mean, you can't be saved if you deviate from that original teaching, that original doctrine. Now, let's move on to another subject. Before we start that, again, let me mention the number. The lines are wide open. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Let me quote this from the Standard Manual from Baptist Churches by Hiscock. Here's what he said. This is from the Standard Manual for Baptist Churches. It says, in the apostolic age, when there was but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and no differing denominations existed, the baptism of a convert constituted him a member of the church. In that sense, baptism was the door into the church. Now it is different. The Standard Manual for the Baptist Churches says, this is the way baptism used to be. This was the door into the church, but now it's different. Now it's different. It's different than it was in the apostolic age. They're admitting that they're not remaining in the teaching heard from the beginning. This is the teaching heard from the beginning, that baptism was the door into the church in the apostolic age, but now it's different. And they're admitting that. And this passage says, if you don't remain in the teaching heard from the beginning, you don't continue in the Son and the Father. And you can't be saved, of course, if you don't have the Son and the Father. Now, let's talk about what the purpose for baptism was in the apostolic age. What was the teaching on baptism from the very beginning? Well, here's what Jesus said about it, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, I know a lot of people are going to argue about that. That's because you've been taught something different than the teaching heard from the beginning. The teaching heard from the beginning is you got to not only believe to be saved, you got to be baptized to be saved. And you say, no, but I've been taught differently than that. I know that's because a lot of churches have deviated from the teaching heard from the beginning, the original doctrine. And if we do that, we don't continue in the Son and the Father. We can't be saved. Here's another passage that teaches you got to be baptized to be saved. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter said unto some to believers in Acts 2:38. Here's what he said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you want to get the remission of sins, that's the old King James way of saying forgiveness of sins, and you want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, in the sense of Ephesians 1:13-14, the thing that proves that you're saved, you're going to have to repent and be baptized. Believers have to repent and be baptized to get the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not enough just to believe. These believers have said, you got to do something to get the forgiveness of sins. They're already believers. You got to repent and be baptized. Repent of your sins. That means you're committing to changing your life in regard to sin. The terminology of Romans 6, you're going to quit serving sin. You're going to start serving righteousness. It means you're going to quit getting drunk. You're going to quit smoking. You're going to quit cussing. You're going to quit committing fornication. You're going to quit looking at pornography. You're committing to changing your life in regard to sin. And when you do that and get baptized, all of your sins are forgiven. Most churches, like the Baptist church, will say you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But when they say that, they're deviating from the teaching heard from the beginning. 1 John 2:24 says, if you remain in the teaching heard from the beginning, you shall continue in the Son and the Father. If they're deviating from that, they're not going to continue in the Son and the Father. They're not going to be saved. Here's another verse that teaches you got to be baptized to be saved from your sins. Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, believed on Jesus on the road to Damascus. That's in the first part of Acts chapter 22. Then Ananias, he was told, okay, once he believed in Jesus, he says, go into the city, they'll be told you what to do. Well, most churches would say he was saved at that point. But then Jesus sends Ananias to tell him what to do. And here's what Ananias tells Saul or Paul, Acts 22:16. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. His sins weren't washed away when he believed. That was at least 3 days before that. Of course, we're all agreed. It's the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Revelation 1:5. That's right. The issue is, When does the blood of Christ wash away our sins? Well, with Paul, was it when he believed on the road to Damascus? No, he was still in his sins at least 3 days later. The blood of Christ didn't wash away his sins when he believed. The blood of Christ, according to this, didn't wash away his sins until he was baptized. That's Acts 22:16. I didn't write that. That's in God's book. And if your church teaches that you're saved before you're baptized, then they've deviated from the teaching heard from the beginning. Remember, 1 John 2:24 says, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and the Father. So if we have deviated on any of these issues we mentioned in the last 2 weeks, and we reviewed just briefly a while ago, or on this issue we're talking about in depth tonight, that you have to be baptized to be saved from your sins. If you deviated from that and you say that you're saved before you're baptized, that all you got to do is believe to be saved, you're saved by faith only, that's not remaining in the teaching heard from the beginning. That's deviating from that original doctrine. And the Bible says in 1 John 2:24, when you do that, you're not continuing in the Son and the Father. You're not going to be saved. I'm talking kind of fast. Sorry about that. I hope I can I'll try to slow down and make it clear. Here's another passage, 1 Peter 3:21. Before I read that, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Here's 1 Peter 3:21. It's as clear as any of these other passages. Every verse that tells you the purpose of water baptism says you have to do it to be saved. There's about 100 verses in the New Testament, just a guess, that talk about water baptism. But there's only 8 or 10 that tell you the purpose. And every one of them tell you that you got to do it to be saved. 1 Peter 3:21 reads this way. Baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So baptism saves us. And it makes it clear. It's not talking about a physical cleansing. He says, no, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. The important part of baptism, I know it looks like a bath, may look like a bath, but he's saying it's not important to be washing the dirt off your skin. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a salvation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a spiritual salvation. It has nothing to do with washing the dirt off your skin. It's a salvation from sin by the resurrection of Christ, and it happens when you're baptized. Again, the blood of Christ is what saves us. When, though? Not when we believe, when we're baptized. Baptism doth also now save you, us. 1 Peter 3:21. Four passages, and we could do four more. Four passages, all of which conclusively prove that you've got to be baptized to be saved by the death of Christ. Yet we have that quote from the Standard Manual of Baptist Churches that, well, baptism used to be the door into the church in the apostolic age, you know, when the apostles were teaching, but now it is different. Somebody decided they could change it. Now it is different. They admit that baptism had this place before. That's the purpose of baptism. You got to do it to be saved. Now they say it's different. And then we have this quote from Ben Bogard, the famous Baptist missionary Baptist debater. He said, the scriptures teach that the sinner obtains remission of his sins in answer to prayer before baptism. In answer to prayer before baptism, when we just read Acts 2:38, that you got to be baptized for the remission of sins. We just read in Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And now we have this famous Baptist debater saying you get the remission of sins in answer to prayer before baptism, directly contradicting these four passages that we just looked at, especially the wording of Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16. All of the passages that tell us the purpose of baptism tell us you've got to do it to be saved from your sins. And there's no passage in the Bible that says you're saved at the point of faith or by faith alone. The Bible says you're saved by faith, but not by faith alone. As a matter of fact, Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says that you are all the children of God by faith. Verse 26, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we are children of God by faith. But then verse 27 begins with this little word for, which means to introduce the reason. The reason you're a child of God by faith, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, is because you've been baptized into Christ. The way you became a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ. I don't know how you can make it any clearer. Now, what does 1 John 2:24 say about those who have changed on baptism being necessary to salvation? We've clearly shown all of the verses that talk about the purpose of baptism show that you got to do it to be saved. 1 John 2:24 says you have to remain in the teaching heard from the beginning to continue in the Son and the Father. That's the teaching heard from the beginning, that you got to be baptized to be saved from your sins. But we have all these churches out here teaching that you don't. They deviated from the teaching heard from the beginning. Who knows why they have? I'm not sure. It'd probably be different reasons for different people. The bottom line is they're not remaining in the teaching heard from the beginning. They've deviated from that original doctrine. And according to 1 John 2:24, I know this sounds way too drastic. God said it, though. When you do that, you're not continuing in the Son and the Father. You cannot be saved if you deviate from that original teaching. You say, Pat, but we've been taught all you got to do is believe in Jesus. You do have to believe in Jesus, but that's not all you have to do. You have to follow his teachings. Remember the opening announcement? Whoever goes beyond does not abide in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, hath not God. If you don't abide in the teaching of Christ, you don't have God, you can't be saved. Now, I mentioned the folks who teach you don't have to be baptized to be saved, they'll teach it this way instead. They'll say, oh, you're saved by faith only, or at the point of faith or by faith only. But James 2:24 contradicts that. James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So a lot of churches say, no, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. They contradict a 6 or 8 baptism passages, purpose of baptism passage. They say you're saved by faith only. Well, that directly contradicts James 2:24, which says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Andrew from North Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what you thought about how the thief on the cross was saved since he wasn't baptized.
So let me read to you and see what you think, Andrew. Here's Hebrews 9:15-17. It's talking about Jesus, and it says, for this cause, he, talking about Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. My parents wrote their wills in the 1970s, but us 4 boys, we didn't receive the inheritance until both of my parents died. My second parent died in 2010. And that's the point here. He's saying this New Testament, the one that requires baptism to be saved, didn't go into effect until after the death of the testator, Jesus Christ. So, Andrew, that means that the thief didn't have to be baptized to be saved for the same reason that Adam and Eve didn't have to be baptized, or Abraham, or Moses, or Noah. Baptism wasn't in the Old Testament. You can read through the whole Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. You'll never read about water baptism. This is not something that was required until after the thief was dead. He lived under the Old Testament law when baptism wasn't required. Andrew, does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but what about in our modern day when people, they're in hospitals and the chaplain comes and ministers to them and then they make their profession of faith on their deathbed? Are those people not eligible for salvation?
Well, what you need to do when they make that profession is take them and baptize them right then. You need to, in other words, if we say that they're saved without baptism, that's just like calling Jesus a liar. Because in Mark 16:16, Andrew, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. My best friend, Rodney, he had an uncle that was in the hospital and they said he's about to die. He's on his deathbed. He'd never been baptized. He wanted to be baptized. They said, you're not taking him out of here to be baptized. Oh, that guy wanted to be saved. So Rodney took him out of that hospital against their wishes, went and baptized him and brought him back to the hospital. When you really believe what Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and you're not going to call him a liar, then whenever somebody accepts Christ, believes in him, professes faith in him, Romans 10:9-10, repents of his sin, you're going to baptize him. Wherever he is, you're going to baptize him. Does that make sense, Andrew?
Yeah, it does. I guess we'll just have to leave it at that. But I just think that there are exceptions. I mean, I was baptized, and I recommend baptism, but I just think it's not as strict as as you're teaching it, that there could be exceptions, like on deathbeds. I think that God would allow that. But that's fine. I mean, I don't want to argue the point.
Do you have a verse? Do you know, you got a verse in mind that would show that a person would make an exception for a person on the deathbed? Because if you got one, I'll believe it. If it's in the Bible, I'm going to believe it quickly.
It's not a verse. It's just thinking that God wouldn't be so rigid to limit somebody that is asking for salvation on a technicality is basically where I was coming from with that.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Andrew.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. And so what we want to do is we want to believe what Jesus said and not call him a liar. And that means we're going to say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we're not going to compromise that any more than we're going to say, what about a person that's gay and he's on his deathbed? He's in homosexuality. Is he going to be saved if he never repents of being a homosexual? Well, you say, well, wouldn't Jesus save him if he does? Even if I'm talking about a person that's not wanting to repent, he's not repenting. But is he going to be lost? No, he's going to be lost because he didn't repent of his homosexuality. So we got to believe what the Bible says and stick with it. And if God wants to, I'm not the judge. I'm not going to be the one on the judgment day to be deciding who's saved and who's lost. But what our job is to preach what the Bible says, and the Bible says, repent. If you're a homosexual, we got to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And that's what we got to preach. Any other questions or comments, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. So the folks teaching you don't have to be baptized to be saved, they're going to teach you're saved by faith only. But we just read James 2:24 that says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Got all kinds of churches contradicting that. For example, here's the Articles of Religion of the Methodist Church. Wherefore that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. So that church, the Methodist Church, is teaching that you're saved by faith only. But the Bible says you're not saved by faith only. The Baptist Church teaches the same thing. Here's the standard manual for Baptist churches. We believe the scriptures teach the gift of eternal life is bestowed solely through faith in Christ. The gift of eternal life is bestowed solely through faith in Christ. That contradicts James 2:24 that says, by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And what is 1 John 2:24? Say about those who've changed on salvation by faith only? 1 John 2:24 says, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and the Father. So here's what the Bible says. You're not saved by faith only. When a church teaches you're saved by faith only, like you don't have to be baptized to be saved, that means they're not remaining in the teaching heard from the beginning. They're deviating from that original doctrine. Therefore, they're not continuing in the Son and the Father. You can't be saved without the Son and the Father. That's obvious. If you have a Bible question or comment, we have about 3 or 4 more minutes. 877-655-6755. Now, either 1 John 2:24 teaches we have to adhere to the doctrine at the beginning to be saved, or it doesn't. We're going to try to take this call real quick. Mark from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was just listening on the radio here, and you were talking to Andrew here, and you explained to him that the testament is in effect until the testator dies. Is that correct?
Till after he dies is what Hebrews 9 said. It didn't go into effect until Acts chapter 2, Luke 24:47 says that repentance and remission of sins would begin to be preached at Jerusalem. So it didn't go into effect until Acts chapter 2, about 50 days after Jesus died.
Okay,
that's when that's when it started. You had to be baptized to be saved. Go ahead real quick, Mark.
Well, I'm just going to ask you, why didn't it go into effect the moment he died?
Because God said it wasn't going to go into effect until beginning in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, Luke 24:47. Yes, it does.
It doesn't say
Hebrews,
that, sir. No, it
you
doesn't.
Hadn't looked it up. Hebrews 9:15-17 says it's going to effect after he dies. Luke 24:47 proves that it went into effect in Acts chapter 2, about 50 days after the thief and Jesus died. So the thief didn't have to be baptized to be saved because he never lived under the covenant that requires it. Galatians, 2 John 9, let me finish with the verse we started with. Whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Saying the same thing as 1 John 2:24, just in different words. You have to remain in the teaching heard from the beginning. the doctrine of Christ, to have God, to go to heaven. If you'd like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. 256-682-9753, free phone Bible study.